heard of Mr. Pease, he was principal. That was after integration, I believe. After okay. integration.
Can you go back and tell me again what you just told me when we were changing the tapes about Lincoln initially was not 7th through 12th grades?
When it first opened, it was grades 9 through 12.
Mm-hmm.
Because my sister graduated in June of 1951. And they graduated, and see, the school had just been built. We started Lincoln in 1951, September of 51. My sister graduated from OCTS 4 years ahead of me in 1951 at June. And school started back in September, and that's when we went to the new school.
So,
and we changed classes. We did
9
through 12. Mm-hmm, 9 through 12.
And when did it change to 7 through 12?
That's after integration. You see, it was still a school. So, the principal there then was Mr. Pease.
Martha, this is a bit controversial, what you're discussing. And so why don't you check it out and call me, and instead of discussing that further, let's move on to another aspect.
Yeah, that's because my memory tells me we change classes.
Tell me about your teachers at Lincoln High School. What do you remember about your teachers, how they taught you, and what you felt about?
The teachers were caring, but they were hard. They were firm. Yeah, they were firm, they were hard. And very good teachers. They lived that role. They visited in the community. You know what I mean? There were several teachers that I really, really admired. One thing comes to my mind, and I think about it every day now in my life. J.Y. Bell, my music teacher. I think I told you that Ed and I marched beside each other in the band. And we had homecoming parades, and we had parades. We fundraising, got uniforms, you know. We were bad. Oh, we were something bad, you know, I'm telling you. And we had, this particular day was our homecoming. And we had all these floats. We had bands from Hillside, they were all black bands, you know, Hillside, and all around, you know, and I had about six bands there. And so we left Lincoln Center. We finally got started. Oh, we were dressed to the T, white shoes, you know, white gloves, and all that. Oh, God. And so when you leave Lincoln and you turn that corner, going up Maritime Road, there was a sign that sat there that said, it was a Merida Bread sign that said, "Go slow, students crossing." And at that time, I didn't have that peripheral vision. And so what happened was, we were marching. We had just got started. Doug Clark was the drum major. And I guess we were somewhat like center of the parade, right? Because we had to let our guests go first. And so just as we turned that corner, I heard people yell, "Martha, Martha, Martha." And I didn't know what I could sense something is not right. And you know what I did, Bob? I walked right into that Merida sign. I walked right into that Merida sign and didn't know I had walked into. Because I didn't know, because they didn't check your peripheral vision. You know, I thought I was seeing like everyone else. And I walked right into that sign, knocked it over, and both me and the sign went over a little embankment. And I was fighting it all the way over. And I dropped my clarinet, and there was a road, this road where, what road is that that's down in there? Like you can go down near Doug Clark's house, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Crest Street. Crest Drive.
Right. It was the one before that, okay, coming up. And when I went over the bank, then my hat fell off and the clarinet, and they had to stop the whole parade the whole, all the way up the ranks. We had just started. And everyone was saying, why are we stopping? Why are we stopping? Martha Norwood fell over the embankment. Martha Norwood fell over. And everyone was saying, what? And oh my God, I wanted to cry, and I lay, I didn't hurt myself, I didn't feel it. And Mr. Bell came over and he was going, trying not to laugh, and he said, are you all right? Are you all right? And I said, Mr. Bell, please just let me go home. I can't, I'm so embarrassed. And he said, are you all right? Is your clarinet okay? And he was helping me dust my uniform off, you know, and get my hat straight and everything. And I said, Mr. Bell, please, please let me just take that little shortcut right there. I can run up that road and take the shortcut and I can be home. I said, because I just can't, there's no way I can face the rest of the day. You know, that was highly embarrassing, you know. And he was saying, he said, no, we need you, Martha. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. That was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do in my life. You can imagine, you know. And for the rest of that, we marched all the way down Franklin Street, all the way out to, because we had our games out in Carver at the park.
At Lyons Park?
Oh, yes. And we marched all the way out there, and all my friends, they were laughing. They said they saw me, and all of a sudden, me and the sound, we were going over the embankment. And for the rest of the parade, everybody said, oh, Martha, there's a stick. Martha, there's a piece of paper. They teased me all that day.
What did you think of Mr. Bell, J.Y. Bell?
Well, the thing is, when he made me take the courage, you know, even though I was hurt, I was crying, I was, you know, I just didn't see myself going the rest of the trip because of what had happened. And he made me do it. And as I go through problems in my life now, you know, things that I, as a disabled person, you know what I mean, just life itself. And I find myself in a situation where I go, no, I can't, I just cannot. You know what I mean? My memory triggers back to that incident when he hugged me and he said, no, you can do it, you sugar. And he was trying not to laugh. You know how you're trying to stifle your laugh. And I was teased that day, and I was picked at. But, you know, that's what kids would do, you know.
Sure. That was an act of courage on your part. But you could have interpreted what he said to you either as words of love and encouragement or
well,
words
he said,
of cruelty.
He said, you have to be here. They had to have the person on the end. That would have broke the whole, you know, whole routine up. You know what I mean? And with the steps we had to do and all like that, the end person, you know. And he said, we need you and you have to do it. And so I did it. I did it. And God helped me. I don't know how I... And tears were coming out of my eyes. And so many times now, and as I have passed, and now I think about that a lot, you know, because I said it was needed. I had to march. I had to go through with it. So when I find myself... as a disabled person, especially, going through and then being a divorcee, raising four kids, I've often thought about that. You know, regardless of what happens, you know, you can't afford to just give up. You have to.
That stuck with
push
you
them.
All these years.
It has. And I was finally able to tell him we honored him at an affair over at over here, I think it was the Holiday Inn or something. And I was finally able to tell him why I hit that sign was because I had retinitis pigmentosa and I didn't know it. And just like, gosh, I just think about so many things. And Coach Kanega, the basketball coach, you probably met Elaine Norwood. Have you talked to her?
Elaine, sure.
Elaine Norwood.
No, I talked to Delaney Norwood.
Delaney, that's my cousin's
Rainey's,
wife.
Rainey's, yeah, Rainey's.
Rainey's my
wife.
First cousin, yeah. So,
neat man.
Mm-hmm, so, but Elaine Norwood looks a lot like my sister, but we're not sister, you know, not related. It's a different set of Norwoods. Maybe we are, maybe we're not. But she was very good at basketball. So here was my sister, Captain, I think, 3 years, captain of the basketball team, and Mary, boy, she was a hooker. And, you know, if you've met her, she has that hook nose. It's my mom's picture up there. She looked so much like my mother, and I looked more like my father, little nose. So she could play some ball, and when she would go to Durham on weekends, she would have to, when she went through the real black area, she had to lean down, she said, in the bus, because the students, she was a target for them because she was such a good player. I could never make the team. I told Dean Smith about that. I didn't know I had a visual problem. And it was so funny because each year I tried so hard to make that team because you felt like you had to live up to your, you know what I mean, my sister was good. And I,
she was older than you were?
4 years older. And I would go out, you know, try to make the team. And as long as everyone was standing still, I could always focus with my tunnel vision on the basket.
Mm-hmm.
Put the ball in the basket. I never missed. But when we played half court, so when we were running around on the floor, I they would throw me the ball, and I would be running down the court, and the ball's bouncing beside me, you know, they throw me the ball, it hit me on my shoulder, and they said, Martha, didn't you see the ball? I said, where? And I could never make the team, and Coach Carnegie would say, what is wrong with you, Norwood? Your sister's a great player. You're supposed to be a good player, too, just like her. Sometimes I think Elaine is more her sister than you are, because Elaine was very good at basketball. And so that time I didn't know about. And as I interact and read about other persons and talk to them with RP, they went through the same things pretty much. But it was difficult. And see, I had to, I was disabled then and didn't know it. But I had to smile and laugh. Like Jim Brady told me when I met him in Washington, when I went up and we celebrated the first year anniversary of the signing of ADA. I have a picture up here with him. He's the vice chair of the national organization. You know, James Brady that was shot. He said, you always have to use humor. And I could never understand why I couldn't, you know what I mean? So finally, why I couldn't, the ball would come at me and it would hit my shoulder. Can you imagine me running down the court and somebody throws a ball and the ball is going right by me? Where did it come from?
Didn't make you feel good all day.
It was frustrating because I could always do the free throw because everybody was standing still.
I'm going to change the subject because mm-hmm. we have very little time left. I have to leave in about 10 minutes.
So I was able to finally tell him why I could never make the team.
Yeah.
We honored him. He's deceased.
Do you have the brochure from that event where you honored him? Do you have the booklet?
I think Polly has a lot of that material. I will have to go back and look through a lot of material. I wanted to show you, this is yours. It was a little picture I had here. I wanted to show you Robert Snipes. Did you see it?
Yes, I
have. It's one of my classmates, and he taught in the Fayetteville school system. And you look at the back, that's what he does now. So, you know, we're trying to get an archives of things that students have done and take myself after graduating, you know. We worked very hard to try to get more black studies into the school system.
Did you have a Black History Week or a Black History Month at Lincoln or Orange County Training School? So you literally got no black history at all.
Mm-mm. We were taught
that
the Indians were the bad guys. Columbus discovered America. And how could he have, I know in New Jersey, which my daughter lives in East Orange, she teaches, and they have a predominantly black area, that they don't even celebrate Columbus Day. Because how can you discover land that's already inhabited by people? You know, the Indians were here.
Right.
And to find that out later, you understand, It's just like I was sharing with you about the story with this young lady who's getting her doctor's degree at UNC in social studies, and she didn't know that Benjamin Banneker, a black man, had put together the designs for the whole city of Washington, and it threw her off so much that she had gone through all this schooling.
And didn't know that.
And did not know that, you know, it was embarrassing. And here I am, a layman, telling her that, you know, and then the gentleman in the back, you know, it was the church, he said, that's right, that's true what Martha's saying. And she took the wrong turn, and we ended up going all through Virginia, those little small towns, you know.
Let's get back to Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
Can you describe May Day to me?
Well, May Day, yeah. We had, beside the school, there were a bunch of rocks, and the parents would come, and they would sit on the rocks or bring chairs.
This was at Orange County Training School.
Oh, yeah.
OCTS.
Yes,
sorry.
And Orange County Training School. We never had a May Day at,
Lincoln,
no. And we had, we always wrapped the maypole. There were two poles. And I remember, you know, each person, couple, I wore pink usually, pink dresses, pink socks, pink ribbon. And Mrs. MacDougall, they put a piano out there on the field. It was beautiful. And she would play, I remember that tune, dun 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 dun. I can remember that tune. We didn't have any mics or anything like that, and we would go under and around and under and around.
All in pink dresses.
And no, some had blue, some had yellow. And see, when you combine all those colors, and we were dancing, and as we went around, we would wrap the maypole with our big ribbons.
Were they
and then
blue,
we
yellow, and pink also, the ribbons?
I'm sorry.
Were the ribbons
if I wore
blue,
pink,
yellow?
If I wore pink, my ribbon was pink. If I,
I
wore yellow, my ribbon was yellow.
Uh-huh.
And Etta Davis, she's deceased now. She usually was always my partner. And she may be on that picture, you know, because I can't recognize all the faces. That's me on the end of that picture. That Dolores just put an arrow there so I would know that was me. But then we had like sack races. You know how you get in sacks and you have a race,
right.
Okay? You know, and we had a lot of fun activities. I always was one of the persons who had to wrap the maypole. That's why I remember so much more about the maypole. And the parents would come over there. I think it'd be like the first day in May or something like that, and. They would come and sit around, and teachers, and we had ice cream. We had just a lot of things. I remember the bag standing in an old potato, you know, the bag.
Sure, the potato sack.
Yeah, and
yeah,
just
did that too.
Just racing like that, you know. And
what other games did you play at May Day?
Play when?
At May Day.
They had horseshoes and, you know, just simple things like that. But it was so much fun. We always looked forward to that. I know Alberta was saying, well, Martha, you know, because I said in that picture, we looked like we were wearing dark, you know, skirts and blouses. And she said, well, you know, we did a lot of things other than wrap the maypole, you know. So you'd have to dress for that, and then you couldn't get in a pretty, in your pretty dress, get in a
sack
bag and jump around and fall around. And I remember the field was dirt. There was no grass on the field. Our teams, our football teams, they had to play on that dirt, that muddy, hard field, practice on it. And one thing that just tickled me pink was that the field was not wide enough to run a touchdown. And so there were rocks and oh, it's just so different over there. And we could sit up and watch the game because we had some games over there on that field. And and
you
I
sat
never,
on the rocks to watch the game.
Rocks and chairs around and whatever, you know. And but I didn't know it until late because I was never that much into football. But Ed said the field, I don't know if he told you, was so narrow. It wasn't long enough for an official touchdown. So the person would run up under the goal and then have to come back
and run again
and run the rest of the, you know, because the field was not, you know, wide enough. And I never knew that. I knew that they would run under the goal and cheer, and then it still wasn't a touchdown.
And that was at Orange County Training School?
That was at Orange County Training School, not at Lincoln. Just at Orange County Training School. We had pretty much grass on the field like it is now at Lincoln. But at OCTS, all I can say is we took what we had. We did the best we could with what we had. But out of... It's interesting about the university being here, you know, becoming bigger and bigger. It enhanced somewhat our work. If you'll notice, Chapel Hill is not like a southern town, northern town, eastern town, or western town. It gets more and more like a metropolitan area. You understand? So. Like Ed said, I never hung around the university much, but he said he used to go down there and mess around on the way on the fields. You know, it's really strange, because I was talking to Mr. Laycock over here at Village Plaza.
Mm-hmm.
He's a native of Chapel Hill and one of the few left. And his father, it's been Laycock. I go over there sometimes and we just talk. There was a bond there with people. It was a bond there. And as long as the system stayed status quo, you know what I mean? You stayed in your place. Things move rather smoothly. But once you try to move a little bit out of your place, that's when it caused a problem. You see?
Why don't we end it there, Martha?
Mm-hmm.
I got to go.
Mm-hmm. It's just so many things. It's just like I could just share so many things with you, Bob.
Well, you have, and I appreciate it. Thank mm-hmm. you for your time.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate it.
I wanted to show something to you.